Locked and loaded, a busy Tuesday, LI in the AM, Dr. Dean Finelli, patent regulatory transactional attorney, the Washington, D.C. office of Cooley, LLP, focuses on the issues related to the development, protection, commercialization, talking about biotech pharmaceutical products, the aforementioned Dr. Finelli, always a welcomed addition. Sir, how are you?
Doing well. Good morning. Good to join you.
Good to have you. Now we're going into that 12 to 15 age group, doctor. Important regarding getting the shot. What does that all mean in, when you put it in perspective to you?
Well, Pfizer expanded out its authorization to children, adolescents, 12 to 15 years old. It looks like, based on the trial, the dosage given to children, which is the same as the dosage given to 16 and above, was 100% effective in preventing the symptoms related to the virus. So good news, we're expanding it out. But again, children are lower when it comes to the risk factors there, but availability will be there for children 12 to 15 as well as 16 and above.
But again, they can carry the infection and pass it on to grandma and grandpa. I mean, that's really what it's all about, right? I mean, kids are not immune to this stuff. So, in essence, you know, I kind of looked at it as a very positive sign, no?
Absolutely, it's a positive sign. There have been about almost 4 million cases in children, so we know that children do get it. There have been a couple hundred deaths. So, again, children are at risk, much lower risk than people over 65, but absolutely, this is good news.
On pause, the blood clots, some deaths, 8 women at the time. I think it was something like nearly 7 million shots given. So in essence, the pause, the research, the investigation, and you were okay about resuming it all, correct?
Yeah, I think it was a good idea to pause this just so we can inform people about the risks. I know it did cause likely some hesitation and skepticism amongst people that were wary about getting the vaccine. But overall, you know, when we think about giving vaccines, we have to give people informed information and allow them to make an informed decision. So overall, it's very, very safe. It is effective, but there are the risk factors there, and people should be aware of that.
60% of adults in New York have gotten the shot. Joe Biden said by the 4th of July he would like to see that number of 70%. Will that be achieved on Independence Day, in your estimation? Will we have that 70% inoculation of adults, 70%?
I think so. We're on the way there. Even with that hesitation I just said, we're still making great progress. You know, we slowed down to about 2 million shots per day down from over 3 million. But nonetheless, we're making good progress. And again, we look at this herd immunity number, and we're focusing solely on the vaccine administration. You know, we have to think there's probably, we know over 30 million Americans had contracted the virus. Probably it's likely more that people had asymptomatic, so there's that natural immunity as well. So I think we're going to be in very good shape by July 4th, and I think we will hit that number even with the vaccinations.
All right, that's a good thing. The announcement came out yesterday. SUNY CUNY students, guess what? You must be vaccinated come the fall. There could be some religious exemptions when they brought up Hofstra and everything else. It's a sign of the times, right? You want to go to Yankee Stadium? You can. You want to go to Citi Field? You can. Sections will be designated for those who are vaccinated, those who are not vaccinated. Listen, we knew this type of thing would be coming. Any surprises there?
No, we knew it's coming. I think, you know, with regard to students, though, we want to protect kids. Parents want to be reassured. I think the one thing I would say is, you know, going back to that natural immunity, you know, if a child or teenager was going to school, maybe they had the virus. You know, we have to get diagnostic testing where it needs to be, because, you know, you don't want to vaccinate people that already have immunity. You know, think about it in terms of flu. If you went to the doctor and said, you know, I had the flu, he wouldn't tell you, all right, let me give you a vaccine. So I think, you know, overall, it's a good strategy. We need to protect people. But again, I think, you know, it's probably a little over the top.
So, Doc, there is hesitancy out there. Also, surprisingly, we read that there are folks who are not returning for their scheduled second shot. In all, I look at the big picture of herd immunity, and that certainly puts a damper on things. How are you looking at it at this point in time regarding hesitancy slash second shot questions here.
Certainly, that's always been an issue, getting people to come back, and it looks like about 10% of people have not been coming back for that second shot. I think the good news there is even after the first shot with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, you're getting about 80% effectiveness against the symptoms. So, you know, not that 95% number, but again, still pretty good nonetheless. You know, that's why it was really a shame that we had this pause with J&J. But nonetheless, you know, J&J is available with one shot. So if we get that out, increase those numbers, you know, obviously that gets you, that single shot gets you that immunity. But nonetheless, I think this is a little bit, you know, misrepresented because, you know, even I'm certainly not suggesting people not come back for the second shot, that's for sure. But even those people that don't come back, they're still going to have a level of protection. So I think overall, it's not too much of a concern.
Listen, Doc, I've said all along it's a race against time, right? It's variant versus vaccine. I look at right now as far as what's happening in India. That's a sense of urgency. I look at what's happening in Japan, in which I'm scratching my head as far as the rollout of the vaccine there. And thus, that's why you're reading right now regarding the Olympic Games supposed to start July 23rd. That is in jeopardy at this point in time. India first. The numbers are off the charts daily, the amount of cases, deaths. It is incredible what's going on, and that is a density factor, I would think. Give me your take on India as far as the variant, and are you concerned regarding those who are not going to get the shot here? Because we know it's a spreader. What about the aspect India/U.S.?
Yeah, certainly when you look at India, this is the type of stuff that keeps the CDC, the FDA people up at night. That's why, you know, when we hear about this slow return to normalcy, you know, things can go sideways very quickly. I don't think we'll ever see a situation like that in the U.S. Vaccinations are good here. This is really a self-made error on their part. You know, they were handling this very well up until November. Then they opened things up. They allow people to gather for political gatherings, for religious gatherings, even though vaccinations, you know, we're still extremely low, and you hit it on the head. It's a very dense population, and, you know, not having the social distancing, not doing the mask and allowing people to gather, you know, that's what happens. So really a terrible situation there. Hopefully, you know, things turn around, but they're in the middle of really a catastrophe over there.
Why is the rollout of the shot very sluggish as far as Japan is concerned?
Yeah, that's surprising. Japan's a developed country. You know, when you look at India, India was using it more as diplomacy. They were shipping it out of the country instead of vaccinating their people. Japan, hopefully that'll pick up. But I think, you know, as you alluded to earlier, the Olympics, they are in jeopardy because they're definitely not where they need to be at this point, and it is a lot slower than I would have anticipated.
Getting the shot into some of the minority communities is a huge deal. Are we attacking it properly, you think?
I think so. I think at first there was a lot of hesitancy, and I think there's a lot more educational campaigns out in to get it into those communities that I think we are doing the right thing, and I think we are seeing those numbers go up. So I think we're moving in the right direction, but there still is definitely hesitancy there. So if we keep moving in this direction, I think we'll be doing the right thing, and if we continue to with these educational campaigns and reaching out to those communities, I think things will continue to move in the right direction.
Is there anything else on the horizon? Certainly we know Moderna, Pfizer, J&J. We had read about others, and that has kind of been a little bit blank as far as the storylines are concerned. Is there anything on the horizon we can expect from other pharmaceutical makers who have more in this distribution process?
Well, Novavax is certainly out there. They're testing their vaccine. They're also testing a combined flu and coronavirus vaccine, should that be come the case that that becomes necessary to get that on an annual basis. They're testing that. So there is a tremendous amount of research still going on. And I think, you know, next in line, you know, we would think would be AstraZeneca at some point, but Novavax is looking at some point this summer to potentially be authorized as well.
Efficacy, we're still in the mid-90s, correct, regarding Moderna and Pfizer, a little less on Johnson & Johnson. Have there been any cases in which you have the shots and yet you can still come down with COVID? Have you heard of anything of that nature?
There have been a few cases of that. I have heard that. And, you know, we should remember these are not 100%, but they're just about 100%. They're not foolproof. There have been some cases of breakthroughs where people have been vaccinated and they have nonetheless gotten the virus. But again, it looks like even in those cases, the symptoms have been not as severe as, you know, one would have expected. So not 100%, but still close to it.
If we're looking ahead into a crystal ball of some sort, when does Dr. Dianfanelli see as far as normality is concerned? When can we get out there? Are we looking fourth quarter this year? Do we turn into 2022? We're seeing a lot of light at the end of this very long and dark tunnel. In your estimation, do we get some sort of herd immunity in the last quarter of this year, sir?
I think so. We're moving in the right direction. You know, we'll start to see even young vaccines available for even younger children. So certainly going back to school, kids will probably still have to school-age kids will have to wear their masks. So in that sense, we won't be back to normal, but we're definitely moving in the right direction as far as restaurants, sporting events, you know, Broadway. We'll see that all moving back to some sense of normalcy, probably even in Q3 of this year.
That's a good thing. Finally, the variant in Brazil, haven't heard a lot lately. Any concern on your part? Where are we at with that?
Well, luckily, it looks like at least the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are effective against that variant. So, you know, I think the variant really that's of concern now is looking at that Indian variant that you mentioned earlier. It looks like the UK, South African, and Brazilian variants, although not at the same level of protection against the original strain, the vaccines do prevent some or do result in safety against those variants. So keep an eye on the Indy variant, but I think the other three were pretty good to go with the current vaccines.
Dr. Dianfanelli, patent regulatory transactional attorney, the DC office of Cooley LLP. Check it out on the site, www.cooley.com. Sir, until next time, great information. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you.